life.
Amen.
We just want a fresh filling.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I think, Lord, we ask you to revive us.
Yeah.
Refresh us.
Amen.
Renew us.
Amen.
Reconstitute us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I think I know a lot of you from the years. I've met many of you, but some I haven't. I think I should start with talking a little bit about the connection I have with UK. Actually, I grew up in a place called New England. But in the last 30 years, I spent more time in the real England than I have back in New England. I started coming to London when I was living and serving in Poland. Actually, London played a big part in the Lord's move in Poland. In the early years, it was the brothers from here that were constantly going, and the sisters to help with the children work, and the brothers to help with the conferences. So, and then shortly after I moved there, I was invited to help with the training. So that was back in 1999, so 27 years that I've been coming to. The first training was in Putney, all right, and then Heckfield, and now here. And it's just a privilege to be able to be involved, continue, even though we moved back to the States in 2007. We were in Poland 10 years. We moved back to the States, but I've still been able to keep coming. And my heart is still here in many ways. The Lord knows that we're willing to come back to Europe. He just didn't send us yet. I don't know. The Lord knows. So when I was here to teach, I'm here to teach now 2 weeks, the God Ordained Way class, and I heard from one of the brothers that there's this senior conference, and it really hit me because this is something I've been burdened for lately, is the matter of the older saints, including me, I'm a senior too, to enter into the service by shepherding. And I've kind of had a second revival since COVID by just learning how to shepherd the younger ones. So I thought, I don't have a message this afternoon. The outline was pretty thorough, but I reached out to the brothers when I heard about this conference, and I said, brothers, I'll be here. Usually I go to visit another church. Sometimes I even go to Warsaw or go to visit one of the other districts in London. But I just, the Lord was touching me to reach out to the brothers and see if I offer myself, would there be any use for me in this conference. I said, I have some stories I can tell. And the brothers, to my surprise, they prayed about this. This is what we were waiting for, because we have one outline and we didn't know what we're going to do with the afternoon session. So I felt, maybe this is the Lord. But I don't like to talk about myself, but I have to tell a few stories. Paul said we can boast in our weakness.
Yeah, all right.
So that's really what my story is all about, is how I myself got recovered and revived. And now what the lessons I learned by being revived by others, I just apply that in my shepherding. So the first story I should tell you about is 35 years ago, I'm in church in Taipei. My wife and I went for the training in 1986, and we stayed there. I ended up working in Taipei. We were there for 10 years. And I became dormant. Okay. I became dormant within a few years after the training. And that was because I didn't have any shepherds. All the saints from the States went back. We were among the few families that stayed. And I couldn't speak Chinese yet. And the devil was telling me, you forsook your calling. The Lord called you here to be trained, and now you're going back to work. So I was under condemnation, and I didn't have anyone to open up to. I still went to the meetings, but I sat in the back row. And my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, they lived with us. And my father-in-law was a real shepherd. And at about that time, the churches in Taiwan began to practice the vital groups and the God-ordained way. And part of it was to visit, going out to visit is part of the step of you know, setting up meetings in homes and visiting the saints. So my father-in-law and two other older brothers, they just started to go out and visit. And they brought in a revival of the Hall 22 in Tianmu, Taipei, through their visitation. And this is not my word. This is history. And even now, you talk to the elders, they will talk about that time. They called these three brothers the San Lao, which means the three elderly ones. In an endearing way, they called them that, who just went to visit the saints. And by that visitation, saints got recovered. Well, it would be hard for my father-in-law to visit me, since he lived with me, but I believe he spoke to somebody else. And one night, the doorbell rang, and I go to answer the door, and it's a brother I recognize. I didn't know who he was, but he was from our meeting. I thought he must want to see my father-in-law. He said, "No, I want to see you." I said, "Oh." So I invited him in. We sat down and had some tea. And he just asked me about what I'm doing, about my job. And at that time, that's probably the only thing that I would want to talk about, besides my children, maybe. But if you want to talk about the Bible, you know, I can pretend to be interested. But I was not living. I was in need of shepherding, is what I was. Even after having passed through the full-time training, even after having left my home country and living in that place and being trained, even after that, it's possible, you know, and for me, it was, I became dormant. And I was in need of being rescued, really. So this brother, all he did was sit with me, drink tea, ask me about my job, and then he was genuinely interested. Even he was surprised. He was engaging with me, details about what I was doing. And then after 40 minutes, he said, "Okay, I better go." And there was no PSRP. There was no spiritual books. He walked to the door, and as he turned around, he said, "Will you be free this time next week?" I said, "Yes, please, come back." I felt loved. I felt it was actually God visiting me, is what it was. So he came back again, and then about 3-4 weeks, just the same thing. Of course, our conversation, my history, how I got saved, all he was doing by the Lord's leading was just stirring up my heart and my spirit by cherishing, loving care. So that last time when he left, he said, "You know, Brother Steve, there are 3 or 4 families in this area. On Saturday night, we gather. We have a meal and we fellowship. I think the saints would love to know you. Would you like to come?" I said, "Yes." So that was the beginning of my recovery after dormancy, was this brother visiting me and then inviting me to come to the home. So I went to the home, and then gradually, like I said, the whole church was practicing the God-ordained way, and I just got revived. I got vital companion. I had prayer with my companion every night on the phone. And it was through that vital companionship that eventually, a few years later, the Lord called me and my wife and our 3 children to move to Poland by his direct calling. Eventually, of course, we opened up to fellowship with the co-workers, even with Brother Lee eventually. So, but my point is this. That's why I said I boast in my weakness. It was in my weakness that the Lord came to call me. And this is Peter's experience in John 21, isn't it? So don't have the thought that if you are going to be able to shepherd, you've got to be strong. No. In fact, if you failed, you're a better shepherd. Put it that way. Of course, we don't want to fail. We don't try to fail. But at our age, nobody has to convince us. We know we fail. We fail a lot. Well, Peter, when he was strong, his attitude was, "Even if all the other ones forsake you, I will never forsake you." I believe the other ones were scared of him. With that attitude, he's despising them all, right? So that's why when the Lord waited until two failures, of course, denying the Lord three times, you know, that's about the worst you can do. Not only did he forsake the Lord, he denied the Lord to a little girl with cursing. And then he failed in his service. He was supposed to be serving the Lord full time, and he took a bunch of brothers fishing because he didn't trust their needs would be met. That's when the Lord came. And he reminded him of his failure. Do you love me more than these? It's a reminder, what you said before, right? And he asked him three times, just like Peter denied the Lord three times. I feel like he was reminding Peter that you can fail any time. But do you love me? That's all I want. If you love me, feed my sheep. You could even say, it seems, the Lord wouldn't ask him to shepherd his sheep until Peter failed, because the sheep would run away from him, right? So I feel like since I pass through this kind of downs and ups, I don't look down on anybody. I can easily be in a fallen situation, and I have sympathy for the ones on the back row because I was there. And I also realize it's nothing of us that we could be burning for the Lord. It's all his mercy. But we can play a part in helping saints get recovered in a simple way of visiting and asking about their job and showing genuine interest in their life. We don't have to go with a stack of books and to get someone into the Word. Eventually it might lead to that, but it's all about genuine personal care. And I was the recipient of that. Okay, then fast forward. We ended up eventually moving to the States for our boys reached college age. And we were quite active. We are in the church in Austin. Of course, you know there's a great campus work. For many years, we were opening our homes to the campus, to the students. Then, in 2019, Ron Kangas came to give a conference. And after his message, we went up to greet him. And my wife said, "Ron, Steve turned 60 a few months ago." I don't know why she would want to tell him that. But he looked at me, his eyes straight at me, he pointed at me, "Brother, your best years are ahead of you." And he spoke that spirit into my being. And I was strengthened by it, but my mind was thinking, my best years ahead of me? You know, we went to the training in Taiwan. We were there in the Gotterdam Way. We migrated to Poland. We're in the campus work. But now I'm getting old. I would say my best years are behind me. Then he continued, "Brother Lee said, our best years, our most useful years are from 60 to 80. And then when you turn 80, even better years coming ahead of you." So that he spoke faith into my being. Well, a few months later, COVID, the pandemic hit, and we got notice from the brothers. There will be no more meetings at the hall. We will be on Zoom. We didn't know what that was back then. Now everybody knows, right? And I was shocked, you know. In those days, the news was full of all these, you know, scenes of people on, you know, the hospitals are overflowing. It was shocking. What is going on, Lord? So I got on my knees and I said, "Lord, what are you doing? How can you allow this? How can we go on?" And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Your church life cannot be focused on a certain place at a certain time." What? "It has to be your daily life." I said, "But we're stuck in our homes. How, Lord?" And the Lord said, "Start calling people. Start calling people." Well, some people like to call. My wife's always been someone that calls people, but that's not my nature, my disposition. If I have a task, if I have a request, I will call somebody. But the Lord said, start calling. I said, who? Names started coming. A few names. I wrote them down. A few more names. And I began to pray for those names. And I, how am I going to call them? Lord, you have to teach me how to call people. So I just exercise my spirit, pray, dial the number. Hello, yes, Brother Steve. Yes, what can I do for you? You see, right away, if I'm calling, I must have a request. I said, nothing. I just, these are anxious times we're going through. I just want to check how you're doing. How's your family? Anybody get sick? Oh, wow, thank you. No, we're okay. How about you? I said, no, we're okay as well. And just talk for 5-10 minutes. And then I said, okay, brother, that's great. I'm glad to hear you. If you need anything, let me know. Or if you have a prayer request, let me know. And then I said, oh, by the way, would you have time next week at this time if I call you again? He said, oh, please do. So that was the first call. And then over a period of time, I built up a good number of appointments, weekly appointments. Some of them were just calls to see how you're doing. Some developed into reading the Bible together. Some developed into reading a life study. Some developed into prayer times. One of the brothers that I called is in this room. And WhatsApp, you can call long distance, no problem. So that I learned. I learned the Lord is the shepherd. But he needs our cooperation. And even if our disposition is not like that, we just need to join ourselves to him, and he will teach us. And so what I found happening was my heart was being filled with love for these brothers. And at some point, some of them would open up situations or offenses. They haven't been meeting for a while. And then I just listen. I'm not trying to fix any problems. Just let them pour out, and then the tears start coming. And then eventually I said, well, I had that happen to me too, how I got through at that time, blah, blah, blah. And I just share my own experience and that I can relate to where they're at. And actually, all they needed to do was have somebody to tell that to, and then we prayed together. Amen. So eventually, of course, in our shepherding, always has to lead to praying with people, because the real shepherding is to bring people to the Lord, right? But there has to be a good amount of cherishing first, and then we also need to bring people to the Word. So that, saints, that pandemic changed my church life, and I have to say, I've never been happier in the church life than I am now. Yeah, and I've continued. I have many appointments. Now we don't have to be on the phone. Now we can have coffee together. Amen. Now we can have lunch together. Now I even have a few groups of brothers. We get together and we get into the God-ordained way, and we try to practice together, and we have some perfecting. We do practice of how to share certain truths with people that we know, and we have prayer. And of course, my greatest companion is my wife. So we both are home. We both are still working, but we work from home, and we pray together, and we see things happen with the people. My wife is very willing to open home to have people over for a meal. So that's why I say, brothers and sisters, at our age, actually, we can be more useful than we've ever been just by shepherding people. So that point, the last point on the outline, right, it ties together the last great revival with the senior saints shepherding, right? Can we read together again, 7, A and B? And do you all still have your outlines available? Yeah? Go ahead. Point seven. Every
journey in life to bring in the greatest revival. The greatest revival is yet to come. A revival to bring the Lord back. The golden experienced saints with decades of experience in the church life are needed to usher in this last revival for the Lord's return.
Right.
Amen.
So I was so encouraged by the overflow after the morning session. I think everything we need is right here in this room. All the life, all the spirit among you saints just needs to be released. Not just on Lord's Day, standing up and prophesying, but even more in shepherding the young ones. So many of the young ones. Now, when my wife and I go to the meeting, we chose a district where there's a lot of young working saints. The students have plenty of care, but the ones who are already on the job, they have families, they come and they sit in the back row. And sometimes they have long face. And those are the ones, my radar, spiritual radar. During the meeting, I'm looking around. And then my wife will say, how about we invite that couple over there for lunch after the meal, after the meeting. So we're in the Lord's Day. It's time for us to do business. And Brother Lee suggested that in his further training on the urgent need of the vital groups. He said, you need, before the meeting and after the meeting, you need to go up and meet people, and you need to pray and pick up some that you would shepherd. So you all have the riches, not just for prophesying. That's crucial. That's building up the church. He who prophesies builds up the church. But for the one who's in the middle of a argument with his wife, he doesn't even hear your prophecy, right? And if he comes and they come 3 or 4 months like that and nobody ever reaches out to them, pretty soon they say, nobody even knows we're here. If we don't come, they won't even realize we're not coming, right? So you're the one that can make a difference. The Lord leads us on who we should visit. But I just feel like this is the Lord has the timing of what the Lord is doing in the UK, having so many like you that have been here for the decades, and you have been faithful in the ministry and in experience of life, dealing with the Lord. But the enemy lies to you and says, your best years are over. No, now is the time to flow out by simple human cherishing care to the younger saints. Amen. Then I also wanted to look at a verse that is mentioned in the outline. It is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. We're all familiar with this. But there's really some light here. Okay, if you all have, could you read together 2 Corinthians 4, 16? Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. I think a lot of times we consider this verse talking about our body. Yeah, I'm getting sick, I'm getting old, my outer man is decaying, but my spirit is still strong, and it's kind of looking at ourselves. It's kind of like, at least I have a strong spirit, even though my body, right? But look at the footnote, 16:1. Brothers, could you read this? 16:1. The outer man. Amen. And then also 16:2, sisters.
Mm.
Right. So it's not just our body, right? It's our body with the soul life, right? Animating it. And our soul needs to be consumed, right? So and in the context of this chapter is that we have a treasure in earthen vessels, right? The excellency of the power may be of God and not out of us, but the treasure can't be seen if our outer vessel is still whole. So Paul mentions all the things he went through. It's not just sickness. It's all the trials he passed through, persecution, right? And then he says, we who are alive are always being delivered unto death. That's not physical death, right? For Jesus' sake, that the life also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. Verse 12, altogether. So then, death operates in us, but life in you. So the context of this verse that we all know so well is a matter of flowing life out to the saints. So who are most qualified to release life to the saints are the ones whom death has been operating in the longest, the most. The consuming pressures have been dealing with them the most. There's simply less outer man in us today. It's just a fact of time. As long as you've been a faithful, you know, pursuer of Christ in the Word, in the ministry, in the meeting life, for sure, your outer man has been reduced and the inner man is growing in you. And so this is what I began to discover when I began to shepherd people, is the amount of effort I put into it, the return was out of proportion because there was just less of my outer man than a younger person. And they touch life in us easier. Even all you have to do is just sit there and listen to them, and they touch life. You've had that experience when we were younger with the older ones, right? Well, now we are the older ones. What do we have to do? We just have to put ourselves out there. Don't take the enemy's lie. Don't think you have to be something special to shepherd. Your outer man has been consumed a lot already. It has decayed a lot, including your soul. The faculties of your mind are still there, but the life of the soul has been being put to death through all the trials that we've been through, whether it's the illnesses or the family problems or the job wearing us out or just society in general. It has been doing the Lord's work so that death would operate in us, but life in the saints. Amen. So how many brothers have told me that my appointments with them were what kept them or what turned them? But honestly, I don't feel like I did anything. Only thing I did was I gave my time. And what you are is what you are. What you are is what the Lord put in you. You just have to, as I said, I don't know a better way to say it, put yourself out there. Don't be sitting in your own home, in your life studies by yourself or with your favorite companion, but somehow ask the Lord, Lord, who? Who would you put on my heart and teach me how to shepherd? Amen. Yeah. So like I said, I've never been happier in my church life. And my church life, you know, has always been very enjoyable in Austin, but these last few years since the pandemic, I'm excited every day to get up and have my appointments. And, you know, sometimes it's a little bit overwhelming, the schedule. And like I said, I'm still working, but I have my own business, so I have time, free time, you know, more flexibility. But like one morning recently, I woke up and I realized, oh, this is the day I have a lot of appointments. But this word came to me. Lord, we're in this together, right? It's like he's our partner, you know? So I don't have to be the one, Lord. You got to be the one. So his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So I've been enjoying caring for these brothers not by doing anything, but by praying for them, of course, and getting together with them. And the Lord is the one who fills that time. I think there's, I have time for another story. It's not about me. It's about an older sister who was my wife's companion in Austin. She has a prayer companion, and this sister, one day, she noticed that the neighbor put a for sale sign in front of their house. And suddenly, the sister was convicted by the Lord. How long have you lived in this neighborhood? You never spoke the gospel to that family. And actually, no one in this neighborhood has been saved. And you've been living here for 20, 30 years. So she was weeping. And she, when she called my wife, she said, "We need to pray. I feel I cannot stand before the Lord without having any fruit." What is that? That's the Spirit, right? Convicting us. That's John chapter 15, a realization that if we don't bear fruit, you know, we're going to be cut off. Or the parables in Matthew 24 and 25, we have to stand before the Lord to give an account for our what we have done for him, right? The Spirit needs to convict us sometime of this. So they prayed. They prayed for the whoever will buy that house, Lord, you've got to get them saved. So a few months later, the house sold, and then she saw new family moving in, and they were Chinese. My wife is Chinese too. So this sister, who's not Chinese, she called my wife. They moved in, and they're Chinese. So they started praying. They started praying. And then one day, I was coming back from travel, and her husband, we're also quite close, he picked me up at the airport, and he said, "Brother, do you have any hedge trimmers?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you know that new family that moved in? Their parents came from China, and they don't like the fact that the trees are blocking the front window, the shrubbery. So they're out there trying to cut the bushes with scissors. They don't have the proper tools. So you have some?" I said, "Yeah, I have some." He said, "Well, you give it to me." I said, "Well, I'll give it to you, but I also want to come with you. Just wait a minute. I'll put my luggage in the house. I'll change my clothes." So we went with the shears, and we joined them chopping, and they were quite surprised. And I didn't speak Mandarin right away. I just listened. And they're saying, "Who are these people? How come they are so nice to us?" And then she asked her daughter, who are they?" He said, "Oh, they know each other from a church they go to." "Church? I want to go to a church too." That's the parents said that. So anyway, then I spoke some Mandarin, and they were so surprised. And then they said, "You go to church, right?" I said, "Yes. We come to America. We want to know what is Christianity." So anyway, long story short, they got dynamically saved at a gospel meeting on the campus. Even though they were in their 60s, they never went to university. They were farmers from China. They got dynamically saved and baptized the very same night. And then they said, "You know, what shall we do?" So Lily and I prayed. We talked to the brothers. "Open your home and feed them." So we started having a home meeting. And I don't want to develop too much, but month after month and year after year, the Lord just kept adding more people to that home. Eventually, it wasn't in our home. It was in the new ones' homes. And the homes rotated. And until this day, what started with that desperate prayer of that old sister is still going on with other families, people moving to Austin for work. And we have, you know, a Chinese-speaking group now that can care for them. So that came out of a desperate prayer of a desperate older sister and with her companion, you know, that she prayed with. So that's the other factor I want to bring in. I'm almost going to finish here, and then we're leaving time for reading the excerpts together. But the other thing is, we don't do these things by ourselves, right? We need to seek out a companion. So that's the, you know, the first step in the vital groups is we ourselves must be vitalized by coming to the Lord and seeking his shining, confessing, repenting, anything he would touch in our being, pouring out, and then receiving a fresh filling of the Spirit. Then we need to ask the Lord for a companion. So when the Lord gives us a companion, then we ask, who's on our heart? Who's on your heart? And make a prayer list and just begin to make mention of these names. And then eventually, as Brother Lee said, once you pray, at a certain point, the Lord's going to say, you've prayed enough, go visit. So it's really not that hard. But if we have companions, we can take the way. And this, I believe, is part of the fulfillment to bring in the last great revival. It has to start with us older saints. And then in closing, I want to read a verse that a co-worker in Europe shared with me at Itero last year in Warsaw. It's the last verse in the entire Old Testament. It says, it's talking about Elijah coming, right, to bring in the great and terrible day of the Lord. That's the final judgment, right? It says, and he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers. And then later in Luke, it's repeated, the angel repeats it, concerning John the Baptist. But there, the quote is different. It's probably the Septuagint. It says, he will turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the prudent. So in other words, the children are the disobedient, right? So, I mean, isn't that typical, right? But when children are disobedient, what's got to happen for the Lord to come back? The fathers have to turn the heart to them first, right? So this is another burden I have, because the more I interact with these young ones, I realize there's such a gap, generation gap, between us and them. And you know what? In a natural disposition, every generation has always been like this. The older ones can have a critical heart concerning the younger ones, right? When we were young, we did it this way, right? Even the way they have the church life or the way they raise their children, whatever it is, it's a critical attitude in our heart. We wouldn't say it to them. We might say it to one another. But it's the main thing is it's a problem with our heart. If your heart is to that person, you couldn't say a critical word, right? If our heart is to the younger ones, they'll know it and they'll feel it. So we can pray that way. Lord, turn my heart to the younger generation. And then I would even say, what about our children in the flesh? Anyone have some situations where the children are distant, some offenses, not contacting very much? Well, you can say, I'm standing on the truth, I'm for the Lord and for his recovery. But how about our heart, right? If that child is going to be recovered, it won't happen if our heart is not toward them. I mean, I have some experience of this. We have to deal with our heart towards our own children even. They feel it and they know it. Children naturally crave the love and affirmation and support of their parents. Right? God created them that way. So if they sense they are losing that, it's extremely painful. And we might send that signal. It might be cloaked in spirituality, or it might not be true. It might be the devil telling them that your parents don't support you anymore. But we need to just go to the Lord about this, that our heart would be towards them. You know, even the Lord Jesus, I would say probably the darkest cry in the universe was the Lord on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? What is that? Do you think he didn't know why the Father forsook him? He knew what was coming. He was being made sin for us. But nevertheless, the feeling of his Father, who was always one with him, even when he was being persecuted, his Father was always with him. He even said that, you know, my Father is always with him. Suddenly, the Father forsook him. Because it wasn't a game. The Father literally saw him as sin. He had to turn away. And even our Lord Jesus was extremely pained in pain about that. So it's just a little window on the dynamic between mother and father and their sons and daughters. There's that going on, and we have to recognize that. And that's a good place to start. Don't expect the child has to take the first step. The father first turned to the child, then the child turns back to the parents. So I think that's about all I have to share. I don't know, maybe we have a little prayer first, and then you can tell us what we would do. Yeah?
Good point. Well, we gave out a couple of handouts, and we thought it'd be good to read through one of those. Is called The Revival Revealed in the Minor Prophets.
Amen.
So it's, I think it's from Malachi, I believe. So if you look at that, it's quite short. We have the verses, and then we have basically three sides. We had thought to split up into small groups to read it, but I think because we have something else at the end, it may be better for us all just to stay together. So maybe we could do it this way. We could read the verses at the beginning together, and then if you would like to read a short paragraph, then just stand up either in ones or twos to read together, and then we'll just, whoever wants to read, we'll read through it in that way. If it's a long paragraph, you may want to stop halfway. Should we do that? So let's read. How about we read the verses at the beginning first? Amen.
Oh, Jehovah, I have heard the report concerning you, and am afraid. Oh, Jehovah, for I will work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, take it on. In wrath, remember compassion.
Amen. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Indeed, even the men, the male and the female slave. In those days, I will pour out my spirit. Haggai 1:14. And Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnants of the people. And they came and did work in the house of Jehovah of hosts, their God. Amen. Does everybody have a copy of this? Has anybody not got a copy? There's a few here. Do we have any spares?
If you don't have a copy, raise your hand.
Yeah. Anybody else not got a copy? Okay. Amen. Okay. Should we just read through this then in ones or twos? Maybe you could stand up when you read. You want to go, Sam? In this message.
Oh, in this message, I have the burden to speak a word concerning the revival revealed in the minor prophets. We may say that this matter of revival is the kernel within the shell of the books of the minor prophets.
Amen. Of God's elect.
Habakkuk 3:2a speaks of revival. O Jehovah, revive your work in the midst of the years.
Amen.
Among God's elect, there has always been an aspiration to be revived.
Mm.
As long as you are a saved one, every day, consciously or unconsciously, there is an aspiration with a spontaneous prayer within you. O Lord, revive us.
Amen.
Although we may not realize it, such an aspiration has been within us through all the years of our Christian life.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. We may think that Habakkuk's prayer for revival was good for him, but has nothing to do with us. However, regarding his prayer, we need to realize that with God, there is no time element. In the eyes of God, one person amongst his elect represents the whole. God always considers his elect as a corporate body. This means that Habakkuk and we are one in the unit of God's elect. Thus, when Habakkuk prayed for revival, we also prayed.
Amen.
We prayed for revival 2,600 years ago. Such a prayer is an everlasting prayer.
Amen.
Many times in the last 6 years, I charged the saints to put the God-ordained way into a living practice, but without a revival, how could we have anything living? If we endeavor to practice just the first step of the God-ordained way to visit people for the gospel without being revived, this will be a heavy burden that no one can bear. We all need to realize that we have been saved and kept on earth to do one thing, to go to disciple the nations, beginning from Jerusalem and spreading to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen.
If we live for education, a career, a good marriage, or a nice house, that is vanity of vanities. We are living here for the spreading of the Lord Jesus, not merely to our neighborhood, but to the entire world.
Amen.
If we would do this, we need to be revived.
Wow.
This is why the Lord has led us to practice the morning revival.
Amen.
The matter of morning revival is according to the natural law in God's creation. God created the universe so that there is a sun rising every 24 hours. We believers should follow the sun rising to be revived every morning. Amen?
Amen.
Every day we need a sun rising. Amen.
Amen.
And this sun rising is a revival. If we experience a daily revival, then we will be living and qualified to practice the God-ordained way and to help the church to take this way.
Amen. Hallelujah. The desolation of the 2 days and the resurrection on the third day.
On the one hand, Habakkuk prayed for revival. On the other hand, Hosea spoke of the desolation of the 2 days and the resurrection on the third day. He will enliven us after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up.
Amen.
Since to God, 1,000 years are just 1 day. These 2 days may refer to a period of 2,000 years. For almost 2,000 years, from the time of Titus destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70, Israel, our representative, has been desolate. From that year, Israel lost the priesthood, the sacrifices, the prophets, the king, and the temple. Eventually, there will be the third day. Amen. 1,000 years of the millennial kingdom, when Israel will be raised up. That is restored. Amen.
The principle is the same in our Christian life. At a certain time, we become desolate. After 2 days of desolation, there is a third day, that which signifies the pneumatic Christ in resurrection. Today we may receive the pneumatic Christ in resurrection and thus enjoy the reality of his resurrection. If we have the resurrected Christ, we are in the morning, the sun rising, and this is a real revival to us.
In 1984, I realized that the recovery was in a dormant condition, like the desolation of the 2 days in Hosea 6:2. However, if we experience a real revival, we will be in the third day.
Amen. Joel 2:28-29 speak of the outpouring of the Spirit. Every day we need the outpouring of the all-inclusive, consummated, compound, life-giving Spirit as the processed and consummated triune God. This all-inclusive spirit includes Christ's divinity and humanity, the effectiveness of his death, and the power of his resurrection. This spirit is our portion, our inheritance.
Amen.
Yeah, Jehovah's tale of the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. Here we see the response of God's elect, who were stirred up by the Lord in order of God's authority. When they responded by being stirred up in their spirit by the Lord, we all were included.
Amen. Amen. We all were included. Amen. Amen. In the minor prophets, there are both the divine spirit, the consummated spirit of God, and the human spirit, the stirred up spirit of God's elect. The divine spirit has been poured out, and our human spirit, the key to experience and enjoying Christ, responds to such a spirit by being stirred up.
Amen.
We may feel that our spirit was stirred up early in our Christian life, but that it is no longer stirred up. However, this is not true. Unconsciously, the spirit of every regenerated believer is stirred up. If we go to a place of worldly entertainment, our spirit will be stirred up to tell us to leave that place. Whenever we grieve the spirit, we have no peace. This is the stirring up of our spirit.
When we read the Bible, we feel calm and peaceful. Even in this calmness, our spirit is under the stirring up by the Spirit. Every day, we cannot avoid the stirring up of our spirit. The Bible reveals that once the consummated compound life-giving spirit comes into us, it will never leave. As it dwells in us, it is often a troublemaker, stirring us up either negatively or positively. If we take care of this negative or positive stirring up, we will be revived, and we will be strengthened and encouraged to carry out the God-ordained way.
Okay. Are we going to read the verses together? Okay.
Revival revealed in the minor prophets can be applied to the family, to the church, to the nations, to the entire human race, and even to the whole universe. In principle, everything and everyone on earth are in the desolation of the 2 days spoken of in Hosea 6:2.
Amen. Since the fall of man, there has been in all of creation an aspiration for revival. Concerning this, Romans 8:20-22 says, "The creation was made subject to vanity, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be freed from the slavery of corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God." For we know that the whole creation groans together and travails in pain together until now. Amen. As a result of Adam's fall, corruption, slavery, and death have come into the whole creation. Today, everything is decaying and is under the slavery of corruption. All the things that are under this slavery aspire to be revived.
Amen. Amen.
Man's fall brought in corruption, and with corruption there is slavery. Because of this corruption and slavery, there is the need everywhere for revival, for restoration. This need can be met only by Christ and in Christ. Christ was resurrected on the third day, and as the pneumatic Christ in resurrection, he is the reality of the third day. Christ, therefore, is the element of the revival for which all creation aspires. The corruption and desolation can be swallowed up only by Christ's resurrection. Amen.
Unbelievers as well as believers aspire to be revived, to have a new beginning. Everyone wants something new. Only Christ is the renewing factor. Only Christ, who rose up on the third day, is the renewing power for the whole universe and for all mankind. Christ is the reality of the third day.
Amen. Amen. When we receive Christ, we received him as the one who is himself the resurrection. Immediately after receiving him, we had a new beginning in our human life. That new beginning was a revival. However, eventually we again entered into a state of desolation and thus needed another revival. This cycle of desolation and revival and desolation has been repeated again and again. Amen.
The way to have the revival, we need to contact Christ, repenting and confessing our sins, failures, and darkness. By doing this, we are brought from the desolation of the 2 days to the resurrection of the third day. Whenever we are in desolation, we need such a revival. We need to come to the third day, and the third day is nothing other than the person of the resurrected Christ with the reality of revival. In addition, we have the outpouring of the triune God as the consummated, all-inclusive, life-giving spirit, and our spirit responds by being stirred up.
When our spirit is stirred up in response to the outpouring of the Spirit, we enjoy Christ not only as a resurrected one, but also as the one desired by all of mankind. He is mankind's unique need. Everyone, the believers and unbelievers alike, desires Christ.
Amen. The Christ we desire has enacted a new covenant, and he, as its surety, is now executing it. Through this covenant, God has been allotted to us our legal portion in Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness, with healing in his wings. Apart from him, we have darkness and unrighteousness. But with him, everything is light and righteousness.
When we have such a Christ, we not only have revival, we have restoration. The millennial kingdom will be a time of restoration. This restoration will consummate in the new heaven and the new earth with a new Jerusalem as the center. That will be the ultimate, the consummate restoration accomplished by the resurrected Christ.
Last of the video training we had in the winter. Brother Ron shared that message on Christ coming with reward and punishment, a lamp shining in a dark place, and Christ appearing privately to his overcomers as the morning star. And I think if you remember, you may remember that in that message under the Christ coming with reward and punishment, he talked about service, right? The way we serve and work for the Lord after we saved is a great matter. And he also mentioned about in the early days of the church life, in addition to meeting nearly every day, the saints would serve Saturday morning. And he said this aspect of work is gone in many places. So I think in here, he said, could there be a revival of this kind of service, a new beginning of the practical service in the church life today? We need to be balanced both in life and work. So, and he linked this to our reward, right? The matter of, even the matter of serving was linked to the matter of reward. He also, on the matter of the prophetic word made firm, to which we do well to give heed as a lamp shining in a dark place till the day dawn and the morning star rise in your heart. He linked that, well, that's the word, right? That's the word. He said, I hope that thousands of saints would make the decision to read through the Bible, three chapters of the old and one of the new every year. Then he said, the older brothers can testify that just reading the Bible has a marvelous effect on us. Yeah. And then he also even said we could choose another book to pray read a few verses every day, right? These are two of the things that we mentioned this conference. The revival that the way the revival can be brought in by the senior saints' prayer and by our serving and by our shepherding, right? Those are the three things. And then also when you come to Ananias Simeon and Anna, with Anna you see service and prayer, but with Simeon you see an additional thing, which is getting into the word, because he got the revelation of Christ, right? And so getting into the word and getting into the word with the help of the ministry is a big thing. So anyway, we don't know how to practically work this out, but I think senior saints, I don't know how we do this, but sometimes it helps to do this together with somebody else to have some kind of accountability. I know Steve mentioned Taiwan. I know in Taiwan, a lot of the churches, a lot of the halls, the senior saints have corporate morning revival. They've had practiced that for a long time, I believe. They come together every morning to have a corporate morning revival. It's not a bad thing to do, right? It's not a bad thing to do. It makes sure makes us get up out of bed in the morning if we have something like that. So that's not bad, to have something like that. Also to read the Bible with somebody, or to read the ministry with somebody, or to pray with somebody. And then to serve, right? And to serve and to shepherd. So these are some practical things that we would like to develop. At the moment, we don't really know how to do that in a very practical way, but it's just to let you know. So this handout touches on It's the excerpt from that last message from the winter training. Amen. Okay, I think that's it, saints. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah.
I wasn't sure about sharing this, but I think sometimes as we age, we think the young people do not like to be with us. We're old. We don't understand what, like Joe said, QR codes are. You know, we don't understand a lot of things. But I'll just tell you the experience we had this week. Brenda, I hope you don't mind, but we've been trying to get Brenda to come just spend some time in the training. So sometimes on Thursday, she will come and stay a little while, maybe eat with some of the trainee sisters. Okay, they are so happy when she does this. I got word this week that the kitchen, she's highly allergic to cabbage. And so I got word this week that the kitchen went through all their Thursday menus to make sure there was no cabbage. Now, does that say they want to be with her? And they want to be with you. You know, I just think that was so sweet. But that shows you, don't take that lie that you can't relate to young people. They love hearing your experiences. They love hearing the history, how you came into the church, how the Lord developed things in the UK. So please, come visit us. Okay, amen.
Okay, saints, so we just have a few announcements to make. The first three announcements are for those staying overnight.